I'm your host, Lee W. Johnson, and welcome to my podcast, where I talk about all things related to magic, witchcraft, demonolatry, and a whole load of other related things. If you would like to find out more about me, get in touch with me, or hire me for a service, please go to my website, leewjohnson.com, or check out my link tree in the description of this podcast. Welcome back to the last week of 2022.
Yay!
Alright. So a couple of weeks ago I spoke about Christmas. And in there I mentioned the words tolerance and acceptance. And I think we need to have a better look at these two words and all the concepts behind them and what they actually mean. Okay, so let's start with tolerance. Tolerance is actually a word I don't actually like to use. We speak about tolerance and being tolerant towards others, but you know, if you really think about it, tolerance is one of those things you don't want to actually do for your own sake, really. I mean, all of this is about your own sake. You know, when we think of other people who we don't agree with, we have a few options. We can either fight them, or we can just accept them for who they are. And this all boils down to how you want to proceed with your own life. If you want to continue fighting, then that's fine. But you've got to ask yourself, is it benefiting you? Is it getting you anywhere? Because I think you'll probably agree with me. You kind of like find yourself on these spiritual, magical paths, whatever path you may personally be on. And you get to a point where you find your own truth. And because you found your own truth, you find that you are now happy with who you are and what you're following. And I'm not sure it happens with everybody, but I think a majority of us, we want to bring that truth to other people, especially people we love, our friends and our family, and we want them to follow the same path because it brings us happiness, therefore it can bring them happiness. The problem is they have their own way, their own path to follow, their own path to tread, and they may reject our path and our understanding of our own path. And this can get frustrating. You often get annoyed with the people who don't want to listen to you because, you know, you feel that they are too ignorant to actually understand. It's not the case at all. It's just that they have their own path and you have your own path. And eventually you come to that understanding that it doesn't matter what path you're following, and you may be happy with your path now, but in 5 or 10 years time that may change and you'll look back and think, okay, so the path changes. Your own true path is your own true path. It is nobody else's. So to try and get people to follow your path because you want them to be happy, it's a noble thing. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's probably not going to happen, and it results in you getting more and more and more frustrated. So what we end up needing to do is simply accept people for who they are, accept the paths that they follow, because that is their own true path, whatever it is, whether it is a pagan path, whether it's a Christian path. But this doesn't mean that just because you accept somebody for who they are and the path that they follow, that you have to agree with them. You know, you don't need to even remain in their company. You can accept them for who they are and then say goodbye. It doesn't benefit you, it doesn't help you in any way. So why would you stick around? When we tolerate someone, that is more a case of sticking around. Let's have a look at the definition of tolerance and tolerate. So to have tolerance, number one, the ability or willingness to tolerate the existence of opinions or behavior that one dislikes or disagrees with. And two, the capacity to endure continued subjection to something such as a drug or environmental conditions without adverse reaction. So, you know, this is sticking around and subjecting yourself to things that you don't want in your life. If we have a look at tolerate, allow the existence, occurrence, or practice of something that one dislikes or disagrees with without interference. Be capable of continued subjection to a drug, toxin, or environmental condition without adverse reaction. So, I mean, the word tolerate comes from the Latin, or has roots in the Latin, which is endure, or in the sense of enduring pain. So we don't really want to tolerate people. And I think what we do when we are fighting against other people, in a sense, we are actually tolerating them in that instance. You may not think you are, but you are subjecting yourself to the pain, and you're enduring that pain that they are giving you, because you are continuing the fight. So you are, they are tolerating you, and you are tolerating them. But it's this constant back and forth of pain that continues on and on and on and on. So tolerate is probably not a good word to use in the instance that I was referring to previously. But acceptance is probably a better word to use. So you have to ask yourself, if you are constantly fighting somebody for your beliefs, and we can take this into a perfect example, a fundamentalist Christian person who is attacking you because you are pagan or you're a witch or whatever practice you follow, they are attacking you on social media, and you then attack back and tell them that they're wrong because their views are this and that and everything else. Firstly, you are doing exactly what they're doing, and secondly, you are tolerating the person. You are subjecting yourself to that pain because it's not going to end. As soon as you attack back, they attack you, and they'll probably bring their friends along as well, and then you'll bring your friends along, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. And you have to stop at some point and ask yourself, do you want to continue to be subjected to this? And the answer to that may be yes, because you're fighting for all of the pagan people. No, you're not. You're not fighting for me. I fight for myself. You can't decide what you're going to do for anybody else. What you do is purely for you. It's good to fight. Sometimes you have to fight. But if it's just a constant back and forth of inane rubbish, then, you know, there's really no point to it. Then you are just really tolerating people. You are enduring and accepting the pain that they are giving you, as just so you can give it back to them and receive it again. Maybe you're a sucker for punishment, I don't know. But the whole thing is acceptance. So acceptance is therefore the ability to see that somebody else has their own path. It's not your path, and you don't have to agree with it. But just accept that that's the way they are, that's who they are, and at some stage they'll probably change, but it's not your job to change them. It's not, your only job is to help yourself, to enhance your own understanding of things and move your own path forward. It's not to save everybody else. You know, the whole saving people is definitely a Christian thing. We're not here to save people. If people want to listen, then that's fine. Then you can sit down with them and you can talk to them and listen, and they'll listen. If they disagree with what you have to say, that's also fine. That doesn't matter. You just accept that because that's who they are. That's where they are at this point. That's where they want to be, and that's what will continue to be. But there's no reason why you have to try and save people and tell them that your way is the right way, because it's not. Your way is not the right way. It's also not the wrong way. But it doesn't mean it's everybody's way. There's no, again, it's coming back to Christian worldview that their way is the right way. My way or the highway type thing. And that's not true for anybody, including pagans, including everybody. One's only true path is the true path that you walk for yourself. Right, so I think I've said enough about this. Short one today, but that's okay. I just wanted to elaborate on the tolerance and acceptance thing. But that's it for this one, and we'll carry on with the Ask Lee slot. Alright, so today's questions for Ask Lee come from A Solemn Sun, which is about the relationships between spirits themselves, and from Blades, we're concerning the use of music in ritual and such things. Okay, so first question from Solemn Sun. Do other spiritual entities help each other or rely on each other for their capabilities? Whether this be a demon, deity, or wandering dead. Also, do spirits ever congregate to form groups, towns, clans, or something of the like due to close proximity or capabilities? I'm going to say yes, definitely. I think when it comes to, especially if you look at the Fae. And I'm going to lump the djinn into this as well, because a lot of people are equating or considering the djinn to be fae in a manner. If you look into the history and the mythology and stuff and such things, the djinn themselves are said to, I mean, they're said to be a race of beings which were here before humans. So they are a race, and they actually created their own religion. They created two divides within their major religion, and they had communities. They had children, etc., etc., etc. And the same thing with the Fae. If you, there was Reverend Robert Kirk. I forget dates now. Around about the 16th century, I think. I could be wrong there. He wrote a book, The Secret Commonwealth of, sorry, The Secret Commonwealth of Elves, Fauns, and Fairies. And he actually documented his journeys into the world of the Fae. And he spent a lot of time there. And he actually documented the structure. The community that they had and things like that. If you do want to read that, there are several people who have republished the book and translations of the book. But the one I would suggest is by R.J. Stewart. It's called Walker Between Worlds, a new edition of The Secret Commonwealth of Elves, Fauns, and Fairies. That was published in 1991. First time I came across the book and Reverend Robert Kirk, actually. So I do suggest that one. It's a very, very good translation. And I say translation, it was written in old Scottish Gaelic. So, the original can be a bit difficult to read if you're used to more modern English. But yeah, I would definitely say they do. And when it comes to relationships between spirits that we may work with, the Goetia spirits, for instance, we find that if we are, I've actually mentioned this before in a previous time, creating a team. Because in a lot of cases, what we do is we pick a single spirit to ask a particular thing of, and we do the work and we ask it for that thing, but we don't consider that maybe there was another spirit which is probably better suited for it. And it doesn't mean that that spirit that you call won't go and speak to another spirit and say, hey, this guy's wants to get this particular thing. I think you might be better suited for it. So do you want to go do it? I believe that happens. It's happened in my own workings. You call on a spirit and all of a sudden you get another spirit, because that one is better suited for the thing that you're asking for. So I do believe they have those relationships. And yes, they, when it comes, especially when it comes to the Fae, they do create their own communities, and such things, and especially the clans, definitely forming clans in that regard. I think that answers that. I don't think there's much more we can actually say about that. Blades asked, how can music be used in daily practice and ritual? Also, when developing a relationship with divine intelligences, the gods and goddesses, and other entities, could music be used as a means of connection? Definitely. I love sound. Maybe not necessarily music itself, although I have used music before, but sound I absolutely love using in all forms of ritual and meditation and such. We have chanting and mantras, incantations. If you look into those things, those, it's sound and it's music. When you are chanting a mantra, you can just make it monotone, or you can add a bit of a rhetoric or a bit of a tune to it, and really bring it alive. And I think I've found that, when I work with spirits and I do my spontaneous singing as well, I find that when I do the spontaneous singing, the it picks up on the energy more. Now, this may be me form or me thinking that the sound is bringing them closer, or the connection is growing stronger, whereas it's probably the spontaneous singing which is loosening up my own energy in order for that connection to appear stronger for me. But whichever way it works, doing the spontaneous singing is for me probably one of the best things you can do. But in regards to ritual, using music, especially, not too long ago, I was working with the planetary energies, and what worked really well with that was music. If you look into classical music, specifically Holst, he produced an album called, well, an album, we call them albums. Wasn't an album when he obviously produced it, but he produced a music which is called The Planets, and you'll find that it has goes through all the different planets. And what is quite interesting, if you start looking into this, is the planets actually create a not just a sound, but they actually create music themselves. The vibration from the planets. Then you can go really go into this. They actually, they have people have recorded the sounds and the tunes, the songs of the actual planets, which is really, really interesting. It goes into the whole thing that everything vibrates, and that vibration creates a tune. If you listen to a plant or a tree, for instance, it has its own particular tune, and it's actually a song. Which is created, which is quite amazing. So everything vibrates, and sound is vibration, and therefore music can be used in the same way to bring about vibration. But also, you can use music as a form of helping with or aiding in vocation work. If you're in ritual and you need to raise energy for a particular spell working, then using music, which really gets you going, which really does get that energy flowing, and it brings it to a ecstatic state, then you can use music in that way. Music often goes along with dance, and if you like to dance, you can raise energy through dance, through movement, and you can use music to aid that. So there's many, many ways you can use music. You can just put a tune on if you feel it has the same energy as a particular deity, or a particular divine intelligence, demon, angel, god, goddess, whatever. If that particular tune invokes that energy of that spirit, then you can just put it on as a dedication to that spirit, and they'll love it. I find that a lot of the spirits, they love music, just personally. I don't know if anybody else does, but I found that they do love music, and it's one of the reasons there's lots of reasons why, but one of the reasons why I enjoy doing spontaneous singing, especially when I'm working with the spirit. I found a lot of them, when I start the spontaneous singing, I feel them come through. They want me to carry on singing because they enjoy it. They like it. They like to listen to it. There's many ways you can use music. You can use it to create a particular energy for the working you're doing, but at the same time, the spirits like it, so the spirits will come closer. Music's a really, really fantastic thing, I feel, for doing ritual and everything. And again, when we talk about music, it is vibration. So that vibration itself can alter a vibrational state. You can use sound and vibration and frequency to actually create healing. Particular sound therapy would be looking at it in a particular way of you have a group of cells, and one of them, the frequency goes out of tune, and that because that one goes out of tune, all of them around start to go out of tune. So you can actually use sound therapy of vibration and frequency to bring all of those back into their original state. But you can also use vibration to alter the state. So something is vibrating a particular frequency, you can use vibration to alter that in order to change it. And then once a cell starts to change, all of the cells around start to repeat the process, and you can actually alter and heal in that manner. So sound, vibration, frequency, pitch, resonance, all of that is amazing for many, many, many things. And there are loads and loads of different applications, not just in ritual, playing a song, whatever it may be. And obviously, again, depending on what working you're actually doing, sometimes classical music is great, sometimes death metal is brilliant. To get that energy into that ecstatic state, is death metal is quite often really, really good. You can use it many, many ways, as I said, over and over again. All right. So I think that answers today's questions, and I'll see you next week. Have a good one. Cheers for now. Bye bye. This podcast was brought to you by, well, myself, Lee W. Johnson. To find out more about me, please visit my website at leewjohnson.com or check out my link tree in the description of this podcast. If you like the video format, then subscribe to my YouTube channel, where I also host a live show every Friday with Rev Kai called the Black Hat Chat.
It's just two witches chatting about traditional witchcraft and other topics. That's me for this week. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks for listening.